Hello and welcome to Serene Reflections, a podcast of Dharma Talks from the Wallawa Buddhist Temple. I am Reverend Clarissa Beatty, a Zen monk and Buddhist priest from the mountains of Northeast Oregon, where we practice contemplative meditation, the Chan of Bodhidharma, the Zen of Dogen, the Serene Reflection Meditation of Reverend Master G.U. Kennett. You are invited to let yourself grow naturally still, to let go of the world for a while. Join us in listening in sound, in listening in stillness, turning within to listen from the heart that seeks the way. A spring thaw has come to the temple. As the earth sheds her thick coat all around us, the melting has begun. Steamy mists swirl over the meadow. Rain and runoff stream from the rooftops, dripping gently into the soil and down the hillsides, drawing into tiny torrents over a sudden downhill delta of gullies and swales, sluicing away accumulated winter grime, on their way to join a million other drops in the tumbling flow over the rocks of the creek bed below. The calls of migrating Canada geese wing toward us from behind mountain cloud tendrils, as their dignified formations weave steadily along the peaks of the Wallawas, heading north again. Here, all across the temple grounds, as deep snowbanks melt along the steep driveway in the forest and around the buildings, strata are revealed. A record of events in snow over the past weeks and months which had built up in graceful patterns. You can read them like tree rings, almost taste them like layer cake, layers of ice and snow of various consistency mixed with an assortment of soils and debris, rocks, branches, needles of fir or pine, shaped by wind and time and conditions. When we sit, when we grow still, and let the thaw begin naturally, like the early spring snowmelt, layers may be revealed in the dissolving of self. The buildup is exposed of accumulated years, of choices, resolutions, actions and reactions, of the leftover traces of our karmic wake, in patterns unique to each of us. Here there was a buildup of compressed snowpack. Here there was a hard freeze where chunks of flung-up gravel have hung long, suspended, awaiting the time of their release and return to function on the surface of the drive. Over there, a layer of needles on top of thin ice kept the deer from skating. And there, the buildup of wood chips we spread earlier helped us keep upright too for a while. As I sit, the layers of my inner past may come to show themselves naturally, even as they disappear, as they melt, thaw, and resolve themselves. Most of the time, the process of cleansing my karma is one of letting things be. And as I refrain from hanging on to what arises, it tends to let go of me too, and go on its way back into the endless flow. For me, with the thaw comes gratitude. For the promise of renewal ahead, for having made it to this point. Of course, spring thaw is only observable for those of us who live where the weather includes freezing and thawing in the higher altitudes and latitudes of our globe. Today, at the start of spring here at the temple, I would like to take a closer look at what might be considered success in the context of living a life of Buddhist practice. Everywhere across the planet this weekend, we are at equinox, a term from the Old French for equal night. It is spring equinox for those of us in the northern hemisphere, fall equinox for those throughout the southern portion of our earth. And wherever you may be on the globe, this is one of two times a year when the earth's day and the earth's night grow closest to being equal, when light and darkness are most balanced. Even at the poles, this is a time of coming to balance, a shift towards the dawn of summer in the north and the sunset of winter in the south. Because the balanced mind, or equanimity, is an important part of Buddhism, this is a timely opportunity to observe this teaching literally, as we experience it together across the whole of the great earth. Ceremonially, we mark each equinox with a festival. This festival of the spring equinox is essentially the same as the ceremony of feeding the hungry ghosts, which we celebrate with a splash in autumn. The embodied practice of generosity of heart toward that within us and within all beings, which longs for the eternal. On this first day of spring, in our tradition, an image is put up at the altar. As Reverend Master Jiu described it, this image is that of an old man asking directions of a young boy, showing the importance of giving up old opinions and the necessity of being willing to learn from anyone or anything in order to cross over to the other shore. So, in making this crossing, in awakening to our true nature and the nature of all things, what does balance have to do with success? According to Reverend Master Jiu, it is also traditional for the Dharma talk at spring equinox to have to do with the importance of crossing over from worldliness to the leading of a religious life, likening the process to the changing from winter to summer, the easiest time for such activity being when all things like the equinox are equal. This teaching of Reverend Master Jiu's, this pointing of hers, is in the inward direction. What I perceive around me reflects the workings deep within my heart. Likewise, How I see the world reflects to the world how I see it. What do I see? What do I reflect? Over the years of participating in the spring equinox ceremony, every year like silent clockwork, it has dawned on me, through this regular reminder, that this teaching is very simple and very profound. No matter how long we have been doing this work of meditating and following the precepts, no matter our present state or perceived standing, at all times we can open to learn and grow from whatever is before us, whatever form it may take. At all times, whether easy or out of kilter, I can release the grip of my old opinions. In every moment, it is spring, and I can start over. I can let go of the frozenness of what has come before and melt, dissolve this hardened sense of self into what is, offering up this vital flow toward the growth of new life. The worldly mind is a familiar one. In the worldly mind, I set goals, then I either achieve them or fall short. In the worldly mind, I pick myself up one more time, then I fall. In the mind of samsara, the world of suffering, the world of life and death, I judge myself, and often others, by external measures. Caught in the pinball swings of the eight worldly conditions, gain and loss, fame and disgrace, praise and blame, elation and sorrow. Caught in these, I will swing endlessly on this wheel of samsara, built of my old opinions and ideals. It is to beyond these that the teaching points in the Sando Kai. Lo, here, set up not your own standards. Worldly success may well be achieved. There is no shame in accomplishments. No reason to try to hide good deeds, nor, conversely, to trumpet less admirable choices. It doesn't impede Buddhist practice to appreciate sweat equity in what has been built, or applaud landmarks in a life well lived. It is wise, however, not to try to measure our life of practice by worldly standards of success, because our inner work is simply not subject to such ways of thinking. And as we go on in training, we may find we put less stake in the measuring of our worth by what we may have done or not done in life. Victory may be sweet, but winning isn't everything. When we fall short of what we had hoped, We can hold expectations lightly as we adjust our trajectory to respond to conditions. If we do become more successful in the worldly sense, this is tangential to being true to our real purpose. And the ride may get less rough in the turns. We may find a deeper refuge in things which are immeasurable by worldly standards of success or failure. Focusing on simply doing the work within the heart as it arises naturally, we may become free of carrots and free of sticks. We cease to compare ourselves with others and others with us, for better or for worse. And then we can be fully present with everyone we encounter, whatever our differences. And then my success need not be at the expense of another. Let go of judgment. When judgment arises, let it arise and let it pass. The eternal does not judge. The crossing is ongoing. Crossing to the other shore does not mean escaping from the world as it is. It means crossing over what arises as the water which buoys us up in our journey. All that arises carries us across these very waves. Our work is simply to keep on going, to keep on flowing, as we let all that arises pass away like so much ballast overboard. In her book, The Wild White Goose, Reverend Master Jiyu offers us a glimpse into her personal diaries, the story of her own early years of training, so that we may learn, if we wish, reflected in her living example, what to do and what not to do. In it, she says quite early on, "I must remember my resolve to take everything that happens as being for my good." The Buddha's teaching includes the importance of balance. Equanimity is one of the four Brahmaviharas, the four divine abodes described in the earliest Buddhist scriptures. The other three divine abodes are loving kindness, compassion, and empathetic joy. These are the attitudes of mind which the Buddha and others before him observed as reflecting enlightenment itself. And each one of the four works in balance with the other three. Enlightened attitudes arise naturally from the Buddha heart which is to be found within each being. Some aspects of our practice cultivate these attitudes, though we don't dwell on making them happen so much as letting them be. We work on not covering them up. To me, kindness, compassion, joy and equanimity are a description of our meditation practice. They are the precepts in action in everyday life. and kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity flow naturally when we meditate and keep the precepts. All beings have equal Buddha nature, equal potential for enlightenment. The easiest time to cross over is when we see Buddha nature in all things. Linguistically, equanimity means equal mind, impartial, mind in balance. In our practice, it means the mind of neither aversion nor attachment. It is the serenity in serene reflection meditation, Reverend Master Jiyu's translation for Soto Zen. It means the state of mind in which the eight worldly conditions may arise and pass without our being tossed by them. The state of mind in which we allow the vicissitudes of life to arise and pass without grabbing on or pushing away. It means being grounded in the deeper mind, the open heart of all being. Equanimity does not mean refusing to feel. It does not mean ignoring or denying. Neither does it mean indulging. Equanimity involves continually coming into balance from where we are not. So practicing equanimity is a continual process. As we practice, it is important not to try to get rid of anything that arises. Just as it is important not to indulge harmful tendencies once we become aware of them. Cultivating clear seeing, nurturing a balanced point of view, sitting with this and working on this does not mean taking up new standards for judging, and it does not mean sweeping anything under the rug. Practice is a process of learning to see clearly, eyes open, a process of going on beyond the mind of either or, this or that. Balance encompasses the extremes. In its wide embrace, it holds all that is. Widening my embrace leads to greater equanimity, leads to transcending extremes. Success in practice does not mean going on beyond just once. Success in practice does not mean being adept at meditation particularly, or not having material possessions, or being extra nice to people. Success in Buddhist practice doesn't mean achieving anything. Success in our life of practice means going on and going on and going on over and over and over. Practice itself means to keep going beyond. Always willing to learn from whatever arises, in whatever form it arises. Willing to admit to myself I have stumbled, and to look honestly at how I might have contributed to that. Willing to try the unexpected, if it seems to lead toward liberation from suffering, letting go of having to achieve anything. Accepting, opening my heart. In whatever form, in the leading of a life of practice, that willingness to open, to flow like a spring thaw into all that is, that is what is seen, pointed out, and experienced as success. Spring is here. Are you letting your heart open? Congratulations on your success. Thank you for joining us in listening to Serene Reflections from the Heart That Seeks the Way. To learn more about this practice, including more about how to meditate, you are invited to visit our website at walawabuddhisttemple.org. Here, in the Kanzeon Shrine of our meditation hall, we offer the merit of our practice of serene reflection meditation to all beings, including you, wherever you may be.